Okay. Then the next one is Mark chapter 9, starting around verse 14. And I'm just going to share from this one and read some of it. This is where Jesus came to his disciples, and there were multitudes around them, and he came to see what was going on. And someone from the crowd came and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." Okay, so the first thing that this spirit is called different things. He's called an unclean spirit, but he's also called a mute spirit, and he's also called a dumb and deaf spirit. Now, I looked up the word mute, and what mute means is unable to speak or inarticulate. And most of the time when you think about mute, you think about in the natural where you see people that actually can't speak. But this spirit can actually cause you to have problems just being able to articulate things or, you know, think what you want to say. In other words, you can't think clearly. Okay, and then it goes on to say, "He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell to the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood, and often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to him, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, he is dead." Okay, and from that, if I look up deaf and dumb, the word deaf means unwilling to listen, blind, headstrong, indifferent, obstinate, perverse, self-willed, and stubborn. And dumb means unintelligent, dense, dim-witted, dull, foolish, moronic, simple-minded. Okay, so from these two particular sets of scriptures, what I'm seeing is that there's different ways that this spirit can enter a person. It seems that one way is through words being spoken over a person, false doctrine, or just negative words, because we know that the word of God is what cleanses us and makes us pure. So if the enemy can have impure words spoken over us, then that's going to send the wrong kind of spirit into us. And also in James chapter 3, when it speaks about the tongue, I think it's around 3:16, it talks about the tongue is a world of fire, and how everything can be tamed except the tongue. And so a lot of the impurities that are in us have to do with things that are spoken that can cause either hurt, to bring bitterness, or just sow seeds that would cause impurities to be in our lives. When Jesus told his disciples to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the scribes, he was talking about the doctrine that they were teaching. And so he said that that leaven could cause you to be impure. And then from the Old Testament, when I saw people being defiled, most of the time it had to do with sexual immorality. And some of the different stories in the Old Testament that talks about people who were defiled is in Genesis chapter 38, it talks about Tamar, who was Jacob's daughter-in-law that posed as a harlot, and he, you know, slept with her, and she was defiled that way. But also, it talks about how Jacob's daughter was raped. His daughter was raped by somebody from Shechem, I believe. And I believe that's in Genesis 34. Her name was Dinah. And she was raped, and because she was raped, it caused her to be defiled. So defiled, you can be defiled from sexual immorality. You can be defiled from false doctrine. Those are two of the areas that I see, you know, the foul spirit coming on people.
Didn't you have something on foolish?
If you look at Mark chapter 7, where we read, one of the things that it talks about comes out of the heart. In some Bibles, it says recklessness, but in some Bibles, it says foolishness. Foolishness, the way we first began to look at this foul spirit was because we started looking at feeble-minded. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 talks about people being faint-hearted or feeble-minded, and what it means is weak-minded. And from that, we realized that because of my husband judging one of his cousins that had mental retardation, that had opened the door for that spirit to be able to attack our son and cause him to have some problems. But from there, we started looking into it a little bit deeper, and we saw that what was taking place was foolishness. And this is what the word foolish means: lacking or exhibiting a lack of good sense or judgment, silly, resulting from stupidity or misinformation, arousing laughter, absurd or ridiculous, immoderate or stubborn, unreasonable. And when I look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 and 22, where Jesus talks about if you're angry with a man without cause, you're guilty of murder. But then he goes on to say, and if you say to a man, raka, which means worthless, you'll be guilty of the judgment. And then he says, but anyone who calls a man fool will be guilty of the hellfire. And so that sounded like the worst of the three to me, being guilty of the hellfire. And so I felt like calling somebody a fool was a serious insult to the Lord, because it was saying that this person is a moron. This person is without understanding and is actually speaking a curse over that person. And if you look at Proverbs.
Where was that one at? The one?
Matthew 5, 21 and 22. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause should be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, raka, should be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, should be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. And I remember you had mentioned that scripture last week in reference to bitterness and making things right with your brother if you have an ault against your brother, or you think your brother have an ault against you. There's also in Proverbs, see, I didn't bring my notes about food, but I think I remember it. Proverbs 26, I think it comes from a spirit of a fool. It's actually called madness, and there's a curse of madness that can come on people.
I'll go over a lot of this too. She's doing all this study and bringing all these up, and a lot of things are zapping around in my head too.
In Proverbs 26, I'm just going to read a little bit of this, because this entire section is talking about a fool. It says, as snow in summer and rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. Like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without cause shall not alight. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the fool's back. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. He who sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. And up here where it's talking about a rod for the fool's back, what it's saying about a fool is a person that makes the same mistakes over and over and over. You know, no matter how much they go through it, and how much they're beaten, whether it's with actual whips to their back or whatever, they still do the same thing. And it's because it's spiritual. They can't stop doing it. And in verse 2 where it says, so a curse without a cause shall not alight, I thought that was a little bit strange to be right there in the middle of talking about a fool. So I went back to look to see if there was some kind of curse that could come on a person as a result of being a fool, or that could cause a person to be a fool. And it's in Deuteronomy chapter 27 and 28. where it talks about the blessings and the curses. 27, 28, you always hear people talk about the blessings, but the blessings are conditional. You don't hear too much talked about the curses. And so it talks about all the curses starting at round verse 15 through 26, and you can read those, but I want to go to where this curse of madness comes in. Deuteronomy 28, I believe it's 28:28. It says, the Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of heart. And all of these curses that come on people are curses of disobedience. It tells you if you do this, you know, then all the blessings will come on you. But then all the curses will come on you because of disobedience. And so when it said under Proverbs 26, speaking about a fool, and it says right there, a curse without a cause does not alight, then that lets me know that being a fool can come from a curse. And I believe it can even come from a curse of somebody calling you a fool. And maybe that's why Jesus said the person that says fool will be in danger of the hellfire. So this fool spirit is a spirit that causes people to act or to have madness. Mental handicap, I think it's called, where you have different problems with your mind.
Okay. Covered a lot of stuff there. Let me say this, because it's really easy. It's just like when we talk about infirmity or we talk about a sickness as a curse, and you have someone like Travis when he's normally here in a wheelchair. You've got to be real sensitive that that person could feel like they're being pointed out and that there's something wrong with them because they're under the curse. And so, but that's why so many people stay away from truth, because, you know, it's the same thing as for me to say how I was set up for my daughter to be killed, you know. And so first thing we have to do is realize we are all in the human race, the fallen human race. Therefore, it's only by God's mercy and grace that each of us haven't gone through Satan doing these things to us. So it's not about judging someone else or why the enemy chose that to come against them. Okay? That's the reason most people can't touch this topic, because it's like, oh, you're touching something sensitive here. If we don't start touching the stuff that's sensitive, people won't start getting free. Okay? And so when the Lord had me see that it was my greed that set up my daughter to be killed, and how it made me miss the Holy Spirit trying to protect her, you know, people are like, you know, well, how can you say that without condemnation? Because there's no condemnation in Christ. And the reason there's no condemnation in Christ is because I know, especially now, that we are all deceitfully wicked until God comes in and cleans us up. So there's not a person in this room that the enemy could not have brought cerebral palsy on, such as Travis when he's here, or mental retardation, or any of the things that we see, cancer, whatever. So this is not about judging each other or feeling superior to each other. I know most of us know that. Some people listen to the tape might not understand where this ministry is coming from, because this is a line upon line ministry. For us, we take this as like, well, okay. But other people be like, oh, how can you say that? Well, it's time we bring in truth. And if there's no condemnation in Christ, we can start seeing each other free. So I say that just for those who struggle with this attack. My sister's son is, it's amazing how many mentally retarded people the Lord has sent to such a small ministry. God has blessed Robert, who does, you know, helps us in every way possible from, you know, he went up 5 grade levels in his reading in a couple of years as he began to really get free from this. And the hope is that he can be completely free. But the cool thing is, you first have to know that your value, just like when we've ministered to people in wheelchairs or people with sickness, you can't get set free because you need to be free to feel like you have value. You have the exact same value and worth as anyone who has God living inside of them. Your value and your worth comes from being created in the image of God and then being restored to relationship with God. Okay? So the awesome thing about it is I've watched God bring real unity and the love and the things he's done in this ministry is you really love people just as they are. And let me say this, just where you're at, God can use you. Just exactly where you're at, God can use you. And I don't mean use you in a bad way. I mean, right where you're at, God can bless you, and you're a blessing to others. But just like if someone is fighting cancer, just because they're a blessing to others and God loves them and they can be used, is no reason to want to hang on to the cancer. Okay?